ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our summer show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the premiere performance of a new musical suggested by Mark Twain's delightful Innocents Abroad, starring Gordon McRae and his charming guest, Dorothy Warren Show. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another musical first is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The incomparable Mark Twain gave Lawrence and Lee their inspiration for this musical romp. I shall be the nimble-tongued Mr. Twain, born Samuel Clemens, and Dorothy Warrenshould is Sylvia in this lyrical excursion called Innocents Abroad. How do you do?
His wisdom was ample, he cared for a sample. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an example.
Delighted. The reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Just between the twain of us, Mr. Twain, where did you ever get your name?
Well, you ever been within earshot of a navigating gent on a riverboat? Well, now, just listen to him, shouting his soundings.
Mark One! Mark Twain!
That's it. That's where I got it. From the jargon of the Mississippi River. Because that's my jargon, too. Take this story, for instance. There are a few whoppers in it, but it's the truth, mainly. Now, how about joining us? We're off on an ocean voyage.
Sailing, sailing over the bounding main. For many a stormy wind shall blow ere Jack comes home again. Sailing, sailing over the bounding main. For many a stormy wind shall blow ere Jack comes home again.
Sailing, sailing over the bounding main. For many a stormy wind shall blow ere Jack comes home again.
Sailing, sailing over the bounding main. For many a stormy wind shall blow.
Aboard the good ship Quaker City, on a conducted tour of the garden spots of the world. Now this here is quite a ship. It's sort of a black hole of Calcutta with a rudder. My cabin is big enough to swing a cat in, but don't insure the cat. The passengers, they all seem to be 60 years old and over. And that's a picnic crowd for you. That is, all except that young lady on the top deck. Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
May I ask what that is you're reading with such interest?
A guidebook.
Hmm.
Do you know, it says here that the Emperor of Morocco has 500 wives.
Hmm.
But even he's not sure of the exact count.
Well, when you get up into the 500s, a dozen wives one way or t'other doesn't matter much.
Oh, really, Mr.
Clemens? Sam Clemens. And you are...
I'm not sure that it's proper.
Oh, go on, say it. None of the other passengers can hear it without their ear horns adjusted.
Well, I'm Sylvia Carter.
How nice to meet you, ma'am.
Well, you talk like a Missourian.
Mm-hmm. Hannibal, Missouri, Miss Sylvia. Born, bred, and kicked out.
I'm from St. Louis.
Oh, that's a wonderful place, St. Louis. First time I ever saw it, I could have bought the whole blame town for $6 million. Mistake in my life that I didn't do it.
It's hard to believe that out there, just below the moonrise, France is waiting for us.
Hello, France.
You know, I think I'm in love with France.
Oh, that's dangerous. Never trust love at first sight.
No, this was love at first sound. For years, I've been in love with the music of France. Bizet, César Franck, Charpentier. Do you know Gustave Charpentier?
Old Gus Charpentier? Why, sure. Who is he?
Oh, Mr. Clemens. He wrote some of the loveliest music in the world.
lovely, Miss Sylvia. Lovely. You know, from the way I feel that you sing, I'm sure you're one person who'll never be sick on the high seas.
Well, I'm afraid I must turn in now, Mr. Clemens. On page 96 of the guidebook, it says that you should get a good night's rest before the evening, before you dock. Good night.
Last page 96. Love at first sound. Sylvia Carter.
Sylvia's hair is like a light, touched with glancing starry beams. Such a face as drifts through dreams. This is Sylvia to the sight, and the touch of Sylvia's hand is as light as milkweed down. When the meads are golden brown and the autumn fills the
deuced clever that all the kids speak French.
Oh, we must hurry, Mr. Clemens. The guidebook says the exhibit of old Spanish pottery closes promptly at 5.
Miss Sylvia, the guidebook talks too much. In a nice, polite tone of voice, would you tell it to shut its big, fat pages?
Really, Mr. Clemens, how do you expect to see the significant things in Europe without expert help?
Sit down for a minute. Here's an interesting little sidewalk cafe.
I'm not sure.
Please.
Well, all right. This is an interesting cafe.
Now then, look around you, Miss Sylvia. There at the front table, a French gentleman. And there, a Spaniard. Undoubtedly, that's a Dutchman. Each speaks a different language. But watch. Watch how international music can be.
Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Brother John, Brother John. Morning bells are ringing, morning bells are ringing. Ding, ding, dong, ding, ding, dong.
Oh, I know the French of that. Frère Jacques, Frère Jacques, dormez-vous, dormez-vous. Sonny de mattina, sonny de mattina. Ding,
good,
dong, dong,
good.
Ding, dong.
Now watch, our Spanish friend is caught.
Martinio, Martinio, quieres tú, quieres tú? Toca la campaña, toca la campaña, ding, ding,
ah,
dong.
The Dutchman's
ding,
lips are moving.
Dong.
Who can resist it?
Vater, Jankel, Vater, Jankel, schlafen Sie, Abend ist verschlafen, dunk, 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 dunk.
All together.
Are you winking? Are you sleeping? Brother John, Brother John, morning bells are ringing, morning bells are ringing, ding, ding, dong, ding, ding, dong.
Why, Miss Sylvia, what are you doing?
Tearing up my guidebook. This is much more fun.
We'll return with the second act of Innocence Abroad in just a moment. Do you have any idea what it takes to move one armored division of the United States Armed Forces from training camp to port of embarkation? Now here is Act Two of our musical version of Mark Twain's Innocence Abroad, starring Gordon McRae as the itinerant Samuel Clemens, Dorothy Warren Scholl as the lovely Sylvia Carter, with Benny Rubin as the guide.
Well, here we are in Rome, and I'm homesick. Confidentially, I'm homesick for... Hello, Miss Sylvia.
Oh, isn't Italy the most thrilling place, Sam? It makes me want to sing.
Well, go right ahead, dear. They encourage that sort of thing over here. Children who don't grow up to be opera stars are considered rank failures.
Something the world is made for fun and frolic, and so do I.
And so do I.
To spend my time in singing some joyous song.
Some joyous song.
To say the air with music bravely ringing is far from wrong.
It's far from wrong.
Listen, listen, music sounds above. Listen, listen, music sounds above. Funiculi, funicula, funiculi, funicula.
Music sounds above. Funiculi, funicula.
Scusate, signore, signorina.
Hey, what's your trouble?
I'm a guide.
We don't want any guides.
But I'm appointed by Steamship Company to show you all of the fine wonders of Italy. Come, we go now to museum.
We get rid of the guidebook, and now we're stuck with one that talks. Well, what's your name?
My card.
A. Billfinger, guide extraordinaire.
That's me, thank you, yeah.
Ancient ruins, my specialty.
Mm.
Billfinger, That won't do at all.
No, an Italian should have a romantic name like Giovanni del Matista.
I have it. We'll call him Freddy.
Freddy? Call my name, Freddy.
Freddy Ferguson. Lead on, Freddy.
Yeah. Look, this letter is written by in a handwriting of Christopher Columbus.
Who?
Christopher Colombo. That's his own handwriting. He'll write all by himself.
I've seen boys in America only 14 years old that could write better than that.
Look, this is the great Christopher Columbus.
I don't care. I just don't care who it is. It's the worst writing I ever saw. Now, if you've got any specimens of first-class penmanship, Freddy, trot them out.
But the great Christopher Columbus, he...
You keep talking about this chap Columbo. What did he do?
He discovered America. That's all what he do.
Discover America. Now, hold on there. We're just from America ourselves, and we didn't hear anything about it. Did we, Sylvia?
Oh, Sam.
Christopher Colombo, that's a pleasant name. Is he dead?
Oh, the bath. And look over here. It's a genuine royal Egyptian mummy.
Hmm. What did you say this gentleman's name was, Freddy?
Name? He got no name. Mummy, Egyptian mummy.
He looks remarkably calm. Is he dead?
Oh, Sasha, he's been dead 3,000 a year.
Oh, and I guess we're a little late for the funeral.
All right, I hold my temper. Now we go see the tomb of great Julius Caesar.
Caesar?
Uh-huh.
Caesar, that's a familiar name. Mm. Tell me one thing, though, Freddy. Is he dead, too?
Mama, me!
Tomorrow morning we'll be home, Sam.
Yes, Sylvia. Somewhere out in the darkness, just beyond the starlight, is New York City.
Are you sorry you came on the trip, Sam?
Oh, no. Travel can be pretty wonderful. Matter of fact, I recommend it as an antidote for bigotry and narrow-mindedness. You can't get a charitable view of the human race by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all your life.
Oh, there are so many things I'll remember. Gibraltar, swimming in a sea of rainbows.
Milan, in its marble wilderness of graceful spires.
Venice.
Yes.
Oh, Sam.
Sylvia, what's the matter?
I didn't do anything the guidebook said. I memorized all the handy hints to world travelers, and I didn't take any of them.
Well, what did your old guidebook say?
It said, never drink the water, never fall in love.
Do just what you order.
Kindly do not shove.
Hold on to your visa, don't get left behind. Climb the Tower of Pisa if you're so inclined.
Most important daughter, kindly note above. Never drink the water, and never fall in love.
But I did it, Sam.
No.
Yes. I did exactly what the guidebook said not to do.
So did I. When did you realize that you'd done it?
Oh, it was in that little town at the back end of Lake Geneva. I don't know what I was thinking of, Sam, but I drank a whole glassful.
You drank the water?
Wasn't I foolish?
No, not half so foolish as I was.
Oh, Sam, you didn't.
Mm-hmm. Right here on B deck, underneath the life preservers. When you sang that aria by Gus Carpenter, it was love at first sound.
Oh, Sam, well, I think the world of you. Oh, but I've got to tell you something. For a wedding present, my father has promised me a 2-year guided tour around the world.
That settles it. I couldn't spend 2 years being pushed around by Freddy and his cousins. No, I fear, Miss Sylvia, that you and I shall never be anything but friends.
Good friends, Sam.
And I shall file the memory of your face and your voice with Gibraltar's rainbows and the spires of Milan.
Oh, Sam.
Yes, all cross-indexed for ready reference when I write my book.
What will it be called?
Well, now, let's see. How about Through the Old World with Sylvia and Sam?
Oh.
No, I'd never buy a book with a title like that. I might buy it, but I wouldn't like it. I know. For Sylvia, the sweet, the innocent, I'll call it Innocence Abroad. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely Dorothy Warren Schold will be back in just a moment.
And our thanks to Benny Rubin, who was the guide, and to our entire company. Our musical tonight, suggested by Mark Twain's Innocents Abroad, was written especially for the Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. To meet the transportation demands of our defense program and of our civilian economy, the railroads are hard at work on their vast program of expansion and improvement. Yes, the railroads are exerting every effort to enlarge their transportation capacity, to keep in step with the needs of the nation's commerce and rearmament program.
Gee, Gordon, it was fun going on a musical tour with you.
Oh, it certainly was, Dorothy. You know, we're really traveling next week when we spin the fabulous musical tale of the journey of Marco Polo.
Marco Twain this week, Marco Polo next week. You certainly get around.
And you're going to be the beautiful girl, the most beautiful girl, I should have said, in all the domains of Kublai Khan.
See you in Xanadu next Monday, Gordon.
It's a date, Dorothy, for the premiere performance of Journey into the Sun.
All aboard!
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And so until next Monday, and another musical first, this is Gordon McRae saying good night.
Gordon McRae can be seen in Warner Brothers on Moonlight Bay. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now stay tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
Hear the voice of Firestone with Barbara Gibson on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our summer show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents a new musical play by Lawrence and Lee, Journey into the Sun, starring Gordon McRae and his guest, Dorothy Warren Show. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another musical first is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we go back almost 1,000 years for our story, Journey into the Sun. Dorothy Warrenshold will be Vang Cha. My name, Marco Polo.
They call me Marco of a million tales, the tales of travis toward the rising sun. For I am one who cannot rest. Come, journey to the east, travel to the than the eye, farther than the wind can see. We shall travel higher than the clouds, to where the leaping rivers flow from olive alabaster snow. We shall meet and mingle with the crowds, whose language challenges the ear, a strange cacophony to hear. And as we move, following the curve of the never-ending that men would see and gladly die. They call me Marco of a million tales, my tales of travels toward the rising sun. For I am one who cannot rest.
We will not go with you, Marco Polo.
If you travel too far, you will come to the edge of the world and fall off. And you will be gobbled up by the great turtle who swims with the earth balanced on his back.
I will take that chance. I must go to the east to behold the marvels men say are hidden there, beyond the mountains and the dread deserts, beyond the legends and the lies. And I shall write a journal of my travels, day by day, of the wonders that I see. A voice, a woman's voice, seems to be calling me. I must follow where she leads. First day. Thus I begin the journal of my travels. I set out by ship from Venice. My destination, the seaport of Accra in the land of Palestine. Second day. I arrive in the Holy Land and join a caravan of merchants who are traveling to the east. Seventh day. Traveling on foot, we arrive at the ruins of Babylon and pitch our tents in what was once the Garden of Eden. Hundredth day. The caravan goes no further, but I shall attempt alone to scale the lofty heights of Pamir. One must creep along the face of a cliff which drops 3 miles into the valley below. It is truly the rooftop of the world. The air will scarcely fill out a man's lungs, and the fires have no warmth. I am weary unto death. Sometimes I seem to hear voices. It is a will-o'-the-wisp voice. I must not answer.
Marco Polo.
How do you know my name?
From the journal which you carry. They found you in the mountains, weak with fever. The caravan from Kabul brought you here.
But what country is this?
You are in the Vale of Kashmir, and my name is Vang Sha.
Oh, thank you, Vang Sha. But why have you been so kind to a wandering stranger?
Are we not all strangers? Wanderers? And when the paths of our caravans chance to cross, shall we not be friends to one another? Where my caravan has rested, flowers I leave you on the grass. For the flowers of love and memory, you find them when you
place them where they lie. But if other lips have loved you, shed no tear and pass them by.
I think it was your voice I heard along the canals of Venice, calling me to journey toward the sunrise.
And I have waited long in the fragrant vineyards of Kashmir, knowing not why I lingered.
Come with me, Banja.
Where?
I must travel on to the court of the great king of the east and deliver to him the greetings of the princes of Europe.
Then must you be on your way, Venetian.
What?
Those who deliver messages to the mighty Kublai Khan are not advised to dally on their way.
Who is this man?
My cousin, Prince Ahmed.
As soon as the strength returns to your limbs, Messer Marco, I advise you to depart from our land, for you have already outstayed your welcome in Kashmir.
Go. You must go now. I am afraid.
But why does Prince Ahmed hate me?
Oh, he distrusts all strangers.
After I travel to the court of Kublai Khan, I shall come back to you, Vangcha, and we will be married.
I will wait for you, dear Marco.
You will be with me, in my mind and my dreams, always.
Always? You will not forget me?
Oh, how can I forget you? Your kindness, the soothing coolness.
The Shalimar, where are you now, who lies beneath your spell? Whom do you lead on rapture's rollway far? Before you agonize them in farewell, before you agonize them in farewell. Hail, hands I love, beside the
Prince Ahmed.
And the dungeon awaits you.
Why?
Those who consort with strangers are not worthy to mingle with our people. Take her to the castle of Amritsar.
No! No! Marco! Marco!
Hail, hands I love beside the shallow. Oh.
return for the second act of Journey into the Sun in just a moment. Compared to a brand new car, a lovely new home, or the latest radio or television set, a railroad freight car may not look like a very impressive symbol of America's high standard of living. But in a very real sense, that freight car and millions like it are one mighty big reason why so many Americans are able to afford so many of the good things of life. For American mass production, which makes it possible for us to afford not only the necessities, but many of the luxuries of life, calls for a mighty job of transportation. And that's a job for America's railroads. For only the railroads, with the tremendous capacity and high efficiency made possible by trains of cars on tracks of steel, can do it with the necessary dependability and economy. The railroads link farm, mine, and forest, factory, foundry, and warehouse, with city, town, and village in every corner of the nation. In doing this job, the railroads move more tons of freight, more miles, at a lower average charge than any other common carrier transportation system in the world. To keep on providing that kind of mass transportation, efficient, dependable, low-cost transportation, so vital to the commerce and rearmament of the nation, the railroads must continually expand and improve their facilities and equipment. This year, as in each of the past 6 years, the railroads have earmarked more than $1 billion for that purpose. But to carry out that program, the railroads must have the steel required for new locomotives and freight cars, and for repairs to existing equipment and facilities. And now, Act Two of our Railroad Hour premiere, Journey into the Sun, starring Gordon MacRae as Marco Polo and Dorothy Warrenshould as Wang Sha.
Day. I have now journeyed farther toward the sunrise than any other traveler from Europe. I have arrived at the fabulous city of Xanadu, where the all-powerful emperor of the East holds his summer court, and his palace is an incredible sight to behold.
In Xanadu did Kublai Khan a stately pleasure dome decree, where Alp the sacred river ran through caverns measureless to man.
Down to the sunless sea.
Through the wood and the dale, the sacred river ran. It ran on and on, meandering with a mazy motion. It ran.
Miracle!
It was a miracle of a most rare device.
Move the cons, blaze your dome.
His sunny dome with caves of ice.
Of ice.
And close your eyes with holy dread, for he on honeydew hath fed and drunk the milk of paradise.
Marco Polo, His Imperial Majesty Kublai Khan bids you welcome and offers you the hospitality of Xanadu.
Will you express my deep gratitude to the Khan? But tell him my most urgent wish is to have audience with him so that I may continue on my way.
It is necessary that all subjects patiently await the pleasure of the great Khan.
But I am pledged to be married. The wedding time approaches. How long may I have to wait?
Think not on the passage of time, Marco Polo. but hear the lesson of the temple bells, which grow not old, but ring more sweetly with the flowing of the season.
I shall die with longing for you, Bang Chan.
The temple bells are ringing, the young green corn is springing, the marriage month is drawing very near. I lie hidden in the grass, and I count the moments pass, for the month of marriage now is drawing near. She is young and very sweet, from the silver on her feet to the silver and the flowers in her hair. And her beauty makes me swoon, as the mogra trees at noon intoxicate the heart and quivering
air. Fortunate, Messer Polo.
The Khan will see me.
At once. Come.
Praise to the Khan. Praise to the Khan. Most enlightened king that ever sun stood upon. Bow from the sun. Bow from the Lord. Let the drums and trumpets in his praise sound forth.
I bid you rise, my son.
Oh, mighty Khan, I am astonished by the wealth and splendor of your domains. I fear my people will not believe me when I tell them the wonders I have seen.
You shall show them, then. Name any gift you like, any treasure, and it shall be yours, Marco. This moonstone ring from my finger, this golden sword which I wear.
There is but one treasure which I desire, O mighty Khan. A girl who dwells in your province of Kashmir. Her name is Vang Cha.
Vang Cha. I fear the one gift you ask is not obtainable.
You have word of her?
Swift through the night and noon run the messengers of Kublai Khan, my son.
What news have you from Kashmir?
Is this Vang Cha a maiden in the household of Prince Ahmed?
She is his cousin.
No more.
What?
With the coming of the marriage month, Vang Cha will be his bride.
She would not be so faithless.
How do you love this woman, Marco Polo?
How?
I am old and wise in the affairs of the world, my son. I know that most men love as they would love a flower, delighting in its fragrance and the softness of its petals. This is not love, but indulgence merely. It is love when the lover seeks to delight the flower, and each falling petal makes him die a little.
I shall die altogether if I lose Vang Cha.
There may yet be time. You will travel with my swiftest message bearers over the roof of the world to Kashmir.
But I cannot stop the wedding of a royal prince.
You shall bear a letter to Ahmed, with the seal of the great Khan. And if he breaks that seal before his wedding hour and reads my command, Vang Cha will be yours.
I turned my back to the sunrise and fled to my love. What took me months in the journey eastward was covered in a day's time, for my guides knew every trail, every mountain pass. Weak and exhausted, still I urged them on. For the sands of the hourglass fell heavy on my heart at the thought of losing Vang Cha.
stands I love beside the Shalimar. Where are you now? Where are you now?
Breathless, I made the difficult descent into the Vale of Kashmir. But even before my eyes beheld the pink walls of the palace, I heard a sound which chilled my heart.
The temple bells are ringing, the youngling heart is ringing, and the marriage hour is drawing very near.
Stumbling with weariness, I ran through the dusty streets to the palace.
Ahmed! Prince Ahmed.
Who calls for me? Ah, the Venetian. You come at an appropriate time, Marco Polo, to witness my wedding to Vang Cha.
I bear a message for you from Kublai Khan.
Ah? Congratulations, no doubt, from His Imperial Majesty.
Break the seal and read.
Very well. No. How does Kublai Khan learn these things?
His eyes are everywhere, Ahmed.
Oh, I am the most miserable of Allah's creatures.
They said a messenger had come with Marco.
Vang Cha.
Oh. I thought I would never see you again.
Kublai Khan is as good as he is great. Read his command.
Let me see. To the suzerain, Prince Ahmed of Kashmir, our imperial anger is aroused that you have forced the maiden Vang Cha to marriage by imprisoning her in the castle of Amritsar. We forbid this wicked marriage and require that Prince Ahmed shall languish in prison a month for every day that the maiden suffered there. I am free.
You need not marry, Ahmed.
Oh, Marco.
The marriage month is here, dear Vang Cha. Our vows may be fulfilled at your pleasure.
Nay, at your pleasure, my husband.
The temple bells are ringing. The young green corn is springing. And the marriage hour is finally at hand.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Lovely Dorothy Warren Scholl will be back in just a moment. Our thanks to Ted Osborne, Bill Foreman, Marvin Miller, and to our entire company. Journey into the Sun, based on the famous music of the East, was written especially for the Railroad Hour, with new lyrics and libretto, by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroads. Today, as the peace-loving nations of the world close ranks against the threat of further aggression, America's defense effort becomes increasingly important to the free world. What can you do to strengthen our defense program? Well, one of the best ways to help is to buy more United States defense bonds. There is no safer investment, no more convenient way to save, and no surer way to help build a more secure future for your family. If you're on a payroll, buy on the installment plan. Ask your employer to set aside part of your wages each payday towards the purchase of the bonds you want. If you are your own boss, use the bond-a-month plan where you bank. Or simply buy extra defense bonds at any bank or post office. Remember, defense is your job, too.
You must be tired from all that traveling, Gordon.
Well, Dorothy, traveling in Marco Polo's time wasn't nearly as easy as it is today. I wonder what the old Venetian would think if he could see a modern train.
Well, I bet it would surprise him more than all the wonders of Kublai Khan.
Well, anyway, Dorothy, I'm going to get rested up next week, for I'll be taking a nap for 20 years.
Rip Van Winkle?
Rip Van Winkle. And you're going to find out some things about the old boy that I'll bet you never knew.
Does he sing like Gordon McRae?
Exactly. And the strange thing is, his wife sings just like Dorothy Warrenshaw. The week after that, Dorothy, I'll be trimming my royal beard as the Emperor of San Francisco. And the week after that, on October 1st, our show train begins the winter season with Dorothy Kirsten and Cole Porter's stirring musical success, Jubilee.
All aboard!
Well, sir, it looks as though we're ready to pull out, and so until next Monday night, this is Gordon McRae saying goodbye.
Gordon McRae can be seen in Warner Brothers on Moonlight Bay. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. Now stay tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
The preceding was transcribed. Your Monday evening of music continues with the Telephone Hour on NBC.